And welcome to the Rick House. My name is Cyrus Farmer. You are watching and listening to the Stomp the Tea podcast. And folks, as always, we have a lot to get into tonight. So let me give you a little rundown about what we are going to be talking about tonight. First and foremost, yesterday was my birthday, actually. And my wife took me out to see the movie Sinners. Ryan Coogler film starring Michael B. Jordan and Hailee Steinfeld. We'll be talking a little bit about that. We're also going to be talking about the NBA playoffs, where I think these series are going to land. The playoffs have been very good so far, and I think they're going to get even better in the second round. But all that will be discovered when it is revealed. And of course, everyone's favorite segment, what are you drinking tonight? But first, I want to get into a couple of items right off the bat. Folks, you know, there's only one place we can start this episode, and that is with the Wolf Watch. Yes, yes, yes. We are in day 47 of the Wolf Watch. And once again, the wonderful, allegedly, Wolf Gourmet Convection Oven is still in a box that is unopened. Folks, as you know, I gave this gift to my wife on February 21st for her birthday. She thinks it's too big to put on our counters in the kitchen. I disagree because it's a wonderful piece of appliance. But all that being said, it's still unopened, and it's going to remain unopened for probably at least another week, at least another episode, simply because my wife left town today for California, and she is going to be gone for several days, four or five days. So there's no way it gets open before we record another episode, which is fine. Again, the over-under is Memorial Day. And I took, unfortunately, the over. More unfortunately, I'm almost positive I'm going to be right. I mean, we might be lucky to have this thing open and out on the counter by July 4th. But let's stick with Memorial Day. That'll be fun. Folks, I'm a bachelor over the next couple of days. So I ordered and picked up a pepperoni pizza tonight. And you know what would be great to reheat leftover pepperoni pizza in? The Wolf Gourmet Convection Oven. This super fancy toaster oven that I bought my wife for her birthday. But I can't do that because it is still unopened in a box on the dining room floor. Next to the credenza. Awesome. Again, it's her gift. She can do what she wants with it. Who am I to judge? So that is the latest on the Wolf Watch. I'm thinking about maybe giving the Wolf this toaster oven that I bought my wife. Thinking about giving it a name. You know what I used to do? Whenever I booked a gig, you know, as an actor, I would buy something for myself, whether it was a car or a printer or a computer or whatever. And I would name whatever I bought after booking a gig the name of my character. So I had a car named Sean. I had a printer named Carl. Just little things that I used to like to do to kind of keep myself entertained. So maybe I'll think of a name for the Wolf Gourmet Convection Oven. And if I do, I will let you guys know. But more importantly, when and if it ever gets unboxed, I will definitely let you guys know. So that is the Wolf Watch for April 24th. 2025. All right, so You know, we talked about the Masters last week, and we talked about, you know, the time I had, some of the things I bought, you know, kind of my experience there, being there the third time. I thought that I would actually show you guys two pieces of merchandise, right? And we talked about them a little bit last week, but I want to show them to you this week. You know, we talked about how gnomes are such a huge, huge Masters merchandise hit. I mean, people literally, I think gnomes are only like 9 years old, 10 years old. They just started releasing them. And they have been a massive, massive, massive hit. I mean, Augusta National can't make enough of these things. But I was this time, I was focused, and I was fortunate enough to pick up both a mini gnome and a full-size traditional garden gnome. Masters themed, both. So let me show you. So the mini gnome is, I'm going to say it's $30. It costs $29.50. All right. So this is what the mini gnome looks like. For those of you watching on YouTube, right? You see, this is a white guy with a beard and a caddy suit, a white caddy suit. Yeah, that's pretty much the best way I can describe it. This is the mini gnome. And these are available, depending on when you get them, pretty much every day or every other day, right? They're not as difficult to get as the full-size garden gnome. So, there's that. Now, the full-size garden gnome, this is the one that everyone tries to get. They're different. They change them every single year. This year, the 2025 garden gnome looks like this. Now, again, this is a $50 item that resells on eBay for like $700-$800, depending on the year. This is the full-size Masters garden gnome. As you can see, he has a shirt on. He has a... Okay. He has a polo shirt on. Either a polo shirt or a Hawaiian shirt. It's in kind of like a very light green. And on the shirt are the Masters logo, a half peach, pimento cheese sandwich, all these different Georgia icons. And in his hand, I don't know if you can see this right here. He is, for those of you watching on YouTube, he's eating a peach ice cream sandwich, which again is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful treat. One of the best things they do down at Augusta National. So this is the full-size gnome. I think a year ago, 2 years ago, he was kind of in a blue pinstripe suit. So this year, you know, it's a little different, a little more casual, but that's okay. We have him. I'm not a big resale guy. I'm going to keep him. I don't know if I'm going to put him in the garden. I think I probably will. But who knows? I'm definitely not keeping him in the box. Anyway, so that is the 2025 Masters gnome, full size. Now, I wanted to tell you folks, while I have your attention, Augusta National has an interesting policy about exchanging merchandise. Now, I bought several hundreds of dollars of merchandise when I was there. I've done that every single time I've been there. But one of the things that I purchased, and it's the only thing I actually had to exchange, I purchased a green Masters quarter zip pullover for my wife. And it's a woman's cut. Fortunately, my wife is a woman, which is great. No judgments otherwise. I'm just talking about my wife. It didn't fit. My wife has long arms, so we wanted to exchange it for a larger size, from a medium to a large, because the sleeves were a little bit short. So what you have to do at that point is you have to mail the item back to Augusta National, and you have to mail it back with your original receipt, in the original packaging, and ineligible items for exchange are items with the year specific branded on them. You couldn't buy a 2025 Masters ball cap, let's say, and say, I want to exchange it for a Masters cap without 2025. No, they won't take it back. It has to be clean. Clean in the sense of there is no year designation on any of the merchandise. This happens to be clean, what I bought for my wife. I got a email notification from FedEx that they received, they being Augusta National, received my item earlier today. So I will let you know how the exchange works. And if they are able to exchange it for a larger size, I will show you the quarter zip that I bought for my lovely wife, which I think she's going to look fantastic in if we can get this sleeve length right. Anyway, so there is that. Folks, let's get into the show. I'm sorry, news to report. We're recording this actually on, obviously, Thursday night. This is the end of the NFL draft. Obviously, there are a couple of playoff basketball games going on at the same time. I get alerts on my phone and my watch, and it turns out the Eagles, the world champion, Philadelphia Eagles, who are in the picking 32nd in the first round, apparently they have traded up with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are picking 31st. Who knows why the Eagles traded up, but they did. And I will report to you who they actually pick when I find out. And I'm sure that's going to happen in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. So I'll keep you posted. When I find out, I'm sure I'm going to get some kind of alert on my watch, on my phone, the whole nine. All right. Until then, folks, I saw a movie last night. This movie was called Sinners. Sinners is the name of a movie directed by Ryan Coogler. Some of you know Ryan Coogler from Fruitvale Station, the Creed series, Black Panther as well. Very talented director, very good with the camera, visually instinctive, and a very strong storyteller cinematically. Michael B. Jordan stars in the movie. You all know Michael B. Jordan from Just Mercy, The Wire, Creed, Black Panther. Everyone knows Michael B. Jordan. And the female lead is Hailee Steinfeld. Hailee was in the, I think she's in like kind of the Marvel universe. She's in Hawkeye. She's actually engaged to Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. So let me tell you some of, I can't really talk a lot about the movie. It's the reason why I can't talk a lot about the movie is because it is, I don't want to give anything away, but I will say this. It's a very sweeping, epic, very ambitious cinematic undertaking. This film, I saw it in IMAX, actually. And it was shot for IMAX specifically, although they're able to adjust it down, so on and so forth. It's a really interesting film, folks. I got to tell you right now. It's a really, really interesting film. Was I in love with it? No. Walking out of the theater. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes long. It's not, it's not Oppenheimer or any of these long, long, long films. It's not The Irishman, a 3 hour, 20 minute film. No, it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes. But I will say this, it's a sweeping, epic, very ambitious tale. The strangest thing about the film is that it kind of takes place over probably about 26, 27 hours. I mean, that's the extent that the vast, vast, vast majority of this film occurs in. It's a very, very interesting take on race and freedom, belonging, as well as mortality. It's a fascinating, fascinating film. It takes place in 1932, Clarksdale, Mississippi. And it's a majority black cast. So you can imagine what the subject matter is, in the sense of there is race involved, there is discrimination and threat to life and livelihood involved. But all that being said, it is still a very aspirational film at the same time. You have characters within the film trying to do and or accomplish something. The male lead that is not Michael B. Jordan is a musician. He plays the blues. His father is a preacher. Michael B. Jordan plays a couple of different roles in the film, and they are opening a juke joint. So they're aspiring to make this establishment work. You have all sorts of different things at play and at work. Fascinating film. What else did I write? This is what I wrote. News. Okay, it looks like the Eagles drafted Alabama linebacker Jihad Campbell. Boy, oh boy. I mean, this is breaking news, because the Eagles never draft linebackers in the first round. They barely draft linebackers to begin with. Can't wait to see what this is going to do for the defense. Zach Bond, N'Kobe Dean, maybe they're kind of hedging their bets with N'Kobe Dean on his recovery from the injury late last season. Who knows? But if Jihad Campbell is a good player, I don't follow college football, but I'm hoping he's a good player. I trust Howie. Then I'm all for it. So that is the late breaking news with the Eagles on the 31st pick of the 2025 NFL draft. All right, back to Sinners. I have to say, I didn't love everything about the movie, but I'm still thinking about it 24 hours later. So that tells you there's something there. It reminded me a lot, in a different way, but in scope, in scale, in ambition, it reminded me a lot of Babylon by Damien Chazelle, the guy who directed What was the musical with Ryan Gosling and Amy Adams? L.A. Story? Not L.A. Story was the Steve Martin film. La La Land. That's what it was. Damien Chazelle directed La La Land. He directed Whiplash with Miles Teller. Very, very, very talented director, especially with a camera. So Sinners reminded me a lot of Babylon, which starred Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, and several other actors. It's worth seeing, folks. Please do yourself a favor. Again, it's not an 8-hour long movie, but people are going to be talking about this film over the next 3 months. Go see it. See what you think about it yourself. I actually think it was a very intriguing film, interesting narrative, completely worth watching. Is it perfect? No, but it is completely worth watching. Do yourself a favor, go see Sinners. Now, at this point of the program, I would be remiss if I didn't remind you to tell everyone, friends, enemies, people you like, people you don't like, anyone with ears, please tell them how much you enjoy the Stomp the Tea podcast. We are here for you, week in, week out, regardless of circumstance. And we do this because we enjoy it, and we enjoy you. And more importantly, we enjoy your feedback. So, Stomp the Tea. Tell everyone you know about it. We will continue to produce for you. Now, let's get to the NBA playoffs. Folks, I just want to run down some of these series, give you my thoughts and opinions on them. I haven't watched every minute of every single series that has been played at this point, but I have dipped into several of them. So I will tell you which ones I have, and I'll tell you what I think of the ones that I haven't. Let's start in the East. Cavaliers versus the Heat. I got to say, the Cavaliers should win this series, obviously. I mean, the Heat, the only reason the Heat are in the playoffs, I think the Heat were the 10th seed in the play-in, is because of the wonderful organization that they have down in Miami and the brilliant coaching that they receive season in, season out from Eric Spoelstra, whom I met, by the way, at the Four Seasons. I was getting a massage up there and was in the locker room. And I was leaving, talking with one of the attendants, and he was coming in. So we get a chance to talk for about 5 minutes. I think he was in town with the Heat to play the 76ers. So we got a chance to talk for about 5 minutes. Very pleasant guy. But the Heat really have no business in this series. Through no fault of their own. They just don't have enough talent. So I expect the Cavaliers to win that in five. Maybe the Heat win one game, obviously. Pacers-Bucks. What do we have here? I got to say, I keep waiting for the Bucks to fire. I mean, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, however his last name is pronounced. You have Damian Lillard, who is obviously not in his prime anymore, but he is still Damian Lillard. He's still capable of scoring, making big baskets, and making big shots, more importantly. It's weird. Indiana has been the better team in the series, and it hasn't been very close. And it kind of makes me wonder, how did the Milwaukee Bucks win an NBA title? How? I mean, Giannis had an MVP season, I think, that year. Chris Middleton was Chris Middleton. They had several other role players chip in, and everyone played above their level, or at least at their level, at a minimum. And they won a championship. But if you look at the Milwaukee Bucks today, you're like, how did they ever win? I think it was, what, 3 or 4 years ago? How did they ever win an NBA championship? Giannis is not that much different a player today than he was when they won the championship. It is just kind of a miracle that they actually found a way to win it to begin with. I compare him a lot to the Toronto Raptors. I know they had Kawhi, and Kawhi left right after winning the series against an injured Golden State Warriors team. But they won it anyway. Excuse me. And it just goes to show you, sometimes you get these windows of opportunities, not only in sports, but in life. You get these windows of opportunity. And some teams, some people, some companies, some entities, their window of opportunity is larger than it is for others. And that's why whenever you get a window of opportunity in any endeavor, do your best to walk through it. Do your best to walk through it. Because like the Milwaukee Bucks, who, again, this is the only championship they won when Kareem was not on the team. They actually walked through that window. They took it by the neck, and they won a championship. It's hard to believe, but they did. I have the Pacers in 5 games. All right. Now, Knicks Pistons. This is kind of an interesting series to me because I'm a Knicks fan, and I have been for a few decades now. I have to say, the Knicks are supposed to win this series, and we've talked about this before. They're supposed to win this series because the Knicks beat teams that they're usually better than, and they lose to teams usually that are better than them. So the Knicks should win this series. They're up 2-1 now. They won in Detroit earlier tonight. I do have to say this about Detroit. The Pistons are a young team on the come. They are going to be really, really good for who knows how long, but I think at least the next 3-4 years. Cade Cunningham can play. They have babies on the roster. I mean, babies who can play. In some ways, it kind of reminds you of like the Memphis Grizzly team a few years ago. They have so much young talent that has an opportunity to really kind of forge their way in this league, in the playoffs and beyond. I really like what Detroit has on their roster. But I think they're going to lose. I think I'm going with, what did I write down? I got the Knicks in 6 games. So there's that. Now, Celtics, Magic. Not a whole lot for me to say about this series. I believe the Celtics will sweep the Magic. Let's go to the West. The Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Memphis Grizzlies, the aforementioned Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis is playing better. I think they're actually ahead tonight. So I give them credit for that after getting blown out by 51 points, I believe, in the first game. They cut that margin down in the game 2 loss quite a bit. And last I checked, they were leading game 3. Which is the first home game for Memphis in this series. Look, Ja Morant is an unbelievably talented player. So there is no reason for them being the Grizzlies, to not be competitive in this series. I just think Oklahoma City has too much talent and too much depth for the Grizzlies to overcome. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma City in 5. Nuggets, Clippers. Guys, I don't know. I have a feeling. And again, I haven't watched 1 second of this series. So, full disclosure. But I do have a feeling that the Nuggets are actually going to find a way to lose this series. I'm going to go with the Clippers in 7. And the Clippers have never won anything. But Kawhi's back on the floor now these days. Harden's there playing well on and off. Maybe it's the Clippers' year. Who knows? Maybe it's the year for the Clippers to finally get some things done. I'm going Clippers over Denver in 7 games. Next series, the Houston Rockets versus the Golden State Warriors. Folks, I know Houston won last night. I know Jimmy Butler got hurt and had to leave the game early. But I do think that last night's win could give Houston the confidence that they need to actually overcome the Warriors' depth and experience. I have a hard time seeing Golden State lose this series, to be honest. If the Warriors don't shoot well, that's really the only way they lose games, as far as I'm concerned. But I have a feeling that Houston is going to win. I'm going to go with the Houston Rockets in 7 games. I think last night's win really is going to go a long way, even though you might put an asterisk by that win because of Jimmy Butler. I think they found something, they being the Rockets, found something that's going to serve them well moving forward. And I think they're going to start playing like themselves. Themselves being who they've been in the 2025 season for the rest of this series and possibly beyond. So I got the Houston Rockets in 7 games. Now, that leaves us with one series, the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. Folks, I have to say, this is, to me, the most compelling series of the first round. Can the Lakers, with Luka, with LeBron, do the things they're supposed to do to actually keep up with the Dodgers, who are world champions? A lot of pressure on the Lakers. But I will say this. I think the Lakers are too small. I think their lineup, while talented, doesn't have a ton of depth. And I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to go back to Minnesota. I think they play game 3 on Sunday and blow the doors off the Lakers and take a 2-1 lead in that series. And then you're going to see some real pressure on the Lakers. I think Minnesota wins this series in 6 games. I don't root against the Lakers. I'm a huge Magic Johnson fan. I love the Showtime Lakers. That was one of my all-time favorite teams. And I have nothing against LeBron. I'm a huge LeBron. I won't say fan, but I'm a huge LeBron believer and supporter. But I believe the Lakers will not get out of the first round this year because they're going up against Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert and a Minnesota Timberwolves team that I think may be ready to clock in on the next level. So that is the story with the NBA playoffs. From my point of view. All right. Folks, we have come to the moment in the program where I get to ask you a question. And obviously, it's one of the favorite questions I ask you, the audience, every week. What are you drinking tonight? Well, I can tell you what I'm drinking. And that is Iron Roots Sleight of Hand Blended Bourbon. Folks, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this product, and then I'm going to tell you what I think about this product. Now, this literal blend of bourbons is literally a blended bourbon. It's blended and bottled by Licorice Enterprises in Denison, Texas, but it is distilled in Texas, Kentucky, and, drumroll please, Indiana. Can you say MGP, allegedly? Who knows? So what they do, folks, is they take column still bourbon that is distilled in Kentucky and column still bourbon that is distilled in Indiana, and they blend that with pot still bourbon that is distilled by Licorice Enterprises in Denison, Texas. So you have three bourbons coming together in different proportions, obviously. Who knows what the recipe is? It's secret. To make what is in this bottle of sleight of hand. It is not chill filtered, which is a little surprising for a lower proof bourbon. And when I say lower proof, I'll tell you why. The ABV on sleight of hand is 46%. 46%. It's only 92 proof. So you normally find non-chill filter in higher proofs, 100 proof and up. But for some reason, Licorice decided to go non-chill filtered with a 46% ABV bourbon. Now, it is $35. That's what I paid for this bottle. I have to say, in my opinion, very drinkable. Very drinkable. It's spicy sweet, but there is almost zero burn. I mean, again, it's only 92 proof, so it shouldn't burn if it's 92 proof. It shouldn't burn if it's 96 proof, to be perfectly frank. Tastes a little on the young side. If I were to, if I were to be critical. But that being said, it's very drinkable. Completely worth having in your bar. Now, it doesn't pack a huge punch flavor-wise. It's on the sweet side, but in a good way. Like I said, spicy sweet. But that being said, it's worth having in your bar if you can get it for $40 or less. I would not pay $41 for this. I wouldn't pay $40.50 for this. But I would pay $39.99 if I had to. I got it for $35. So, that is, what are you drinking tonight? Folks, that is the program for tonight. I want to thank you for watching. I want to thank you for listening. My name is Cyrus Farmer. This is the Stomp the Tea podcast. And as always, we will catch you on the first tee.